Joining me now is comedian Tom Cotter, who has a book called Bad Dad, A Guide to Pitiful Parenting, which is full of all sorts of one- and two-sentence tips for how you could be a bad dad. Tom, welcome to the show.
I'm honored to be on with you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You are a dad yourself, right?
I am.
How many kids you got?
Three that I know of, sir.
I know I only have one.
Well, are you sure of that?
I'm 100% sure because I know my history.
Okay.
It's sad. Let's not get into that.
All right. Sorry. Didn't mean to bring that up.
That's okay.
Because a lot of friends of mine have gotten that random phone call.
Oh, really?
Yes. Years later.
And?
And discovered that they had sired more children than they thought they had.
And lawyers became involved?
Litigation pursued and custody battles ensued, and it was a kind of a, you know, a blessing to find out that you have procreated once again, but also a little bit of a nightmare.
Yeah,
because that's always a kind of a tough road to hoe. But so far, just the three that I know of, and just the one that you know of. Yeah. We're breeders, though.
Yes, we are breeders, and proud to be breeders, and proud to be dads. I love being a dad. Do you?
As do I. Love it. Yeah. And my dad was a great example for me. So I'm just passing on that, the abuse to my children, the mental and physical abuse.
Now, I'm curious because I remember when I told my parents I was going to leave college to go into the radio business a long, long time ago. There was that pregnant pause, if you'll pardon my use of that word, where my parents looked at me and said, okay. I've never asked a comedian this. What's that like when you tell your parents, okay, here I am at this point in my life, I'm going to be a comic?
Yeah. My dad, you know, I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, and the public schools there were atrocious. So my dad had to send all six kids, I'm the youngest of six, to private schools, and then we all went to colleges, and he paid for all of that. He was very generous in that regard, and education was important to him. So imagine how thrilled he was when his youngest decided to tell jokes in bars to earn a living after I got my college degree. But he's been unbelievably supportive ever since then, and surprisingly so, because this is a guy who put himself through medical school with the GI Bill after World War II and really worked hard. So it had to be a bitter pill to swallow when he heard that I wanted to be a comedian, but that was 25 years ago, and he's been very supportive ever since.
How successful were your older siblings?
Well, that's, you know, I do have one sibling that makes me look good. The other four are all very successful. My oldest brother is a colonel in the Army, and he is the golden child. But then, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle because I haven't gone back to the well and asked for anything.
Oh, that's good. So you weren't the one where Dad said, well, I knew we'd have one.
Yeah. Yeah. That well, at least so far, I'm not the one.
Yeah. So share with us some of the tips in here that would qualify as a bad dad.
Well, one of them is teach your children that words can hurt by beating them with a dictionary.
Well, that would work.
Yeah, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hold on, I'll turn to another page. Help your son score with the ladies by building up his immunity to mace. Now, see, these are not to be taken seriously. I don't want any letters. So if you're a born-again Christian or a devout Muslim, this is not the book for you.
Okay. Have you gotten complaints?
No, well, I had one review on Amazon. All the reviews were great on Amazon, but one of them gave me 3 out of 5 because he thought it was me recounting my experience on America's Got Talent, and that's why he bought the book. But then he's not a parent. He said, I don't have kids, so I can't really relate to this. So that was his knock on it.
By the way, Tom came in second, or actually tops if you only include humans, on America's Got Talent, right?
That is true. I came in second to non-humans. I was I like to say I was the first place human on that show.
Who was the first place non-human?
The Olathe Dogs won that year. There was a dog act. Britain's Got Talent was won by a dog act, and America's Got Talent was won by a dog act that year. But I was thrilled just to get to second place. No comic had ever made it to the finals before, and I credit Howard Stern as a judge for letting that happen. And it's been wonderful since then, and I'm not bitter at all.
Oh, come on now. Come on. I know some comics. You're all bitter.
We are as a general rule bitter, but I don't hate the dogs because the dogs beat me. I love all animals. My favorite animal is steak, and I love the dogs. We have a lab. It's a meth lab, but we guard it with pit bulls.
That's nice.
So we love dogs. We also have a Dalmatian. We named him G-Spot because we can never find him. So we love dogs, and we're not bitter toward. People think I went out that night and started randomly kicking dogs, and that did not occur.
After all, it wasn't the dogs that voted for the dogs, as far as we know.
I don't know if you know this, but America occasionally screws up voting. It happens.
That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk.
But you came in second, and what happens to the second? First of all, what did the dogs get for first place? Did they get a Vegas act?
We all went to Vegas. We were all contractually obligated to go and do 4 months in Vegas and do the America's Got Talent live show at the Palazzo, which is part of the Venetian.
Yeah.
And it was a fun 4 months. I missed my wife and kids while I was there, but they came to visit. So the winner, you're technically a contestant on a game show, and it's a winner-take-all game show. So the Olathe dogs won $1 million. And the rest of us won nothing. Bubkis, as they say in Yiddish. And what you get from it is the fame and your flavor of the month for a while, and it's been a nice little uptick. Because we always do late night Leno, Letterman, those things, but nobody watches those. But primetime network television is just a huge boom to all of us, and we were very all blessed to be on the show.
Did you run up the room charges at Palazzo?
we may have abused that a little bit.
Yeah. Dogs get $1 million. I'm getting a club sandwich and fries at 3 a.m.
Damn right. They got $1 million and they can lick themselves, so they win on every level.
Tom, when you're writing a book of one-liners, how do you know when you're done?
My publisher told me when I was done and edited a lot of them out. So we already have enough for a second book. But I, in my act, I do a lot of one-liners, mostly cocaine. So I talk fast and I just was able to write fast and I banged this book out in no time. And now I have a couple more in the hopper ready to go.
That's nice to have that extra stuff just in case if this one sells and they want another one, boom, I'm halfway there.
Yeah, and this one, surprisingly, is doing pretty well, so we'll see what happens.
Now, I do have to ask you a dad question. My wife and I, my daughter's about to graduate college, and, we're hoping she doesn't have to move home. I'm hoping she gets a real job and starts her life that way. But because she's not home anymore, we have been going through the basement and trying to weed things out, and we have more old board games down there. It's been a long time since I wanted to say to somebody, let's play Clue. Or let's play Monopoly, or let's play Operation. Did you have that same experience with your kids?
We love board games. We are a board game family because I grew up on them when we would go up to, we had a place to go skiing up in New Hampshire when we were kids and there was no cable. There was one black and white television. So you either read a book or you played board games. We love board games. We still play them to this day. We pass that on to our children. And I'll tell you, if you can't find the game Operation, a fork and an electric socket is a worthy substitute.
Sure.
Yeah.
You just have to figure out which of the kids would we like to operate on this time. Preferably one belonging to a neighbor.
All those games you just mentioned are great. We played Monopoly the other day, and it's like a 3-hour investment of your time, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, the ebb and flow of that game is great, and just to sit down and have that family time together is a lot of fun.
You know what I did not know until a couple of years ago?
What's that?
When you put money in there for free parking, when you know the money everybody puts in the middle because you think, oh, if I land on that, I'll get the... All you're doing is extending a game that does not need to be extended. The idea is to have people go bankrupt, and here you are giving them free money.
Only if they're lucky enough to land on free parking, though.
True.
That has resurrected my participation in the game many times. I have been the phoenix rising from the ashes many times by just landing on that spot because I never get Boardwalk or Park Place or any of the great real estate. And so that I love free parking. I'm pro free parking.
Yeah. I was the guy who always just missed Boardwalk and Park Place, and I ended up with Mediterranean and Baltic as my Monopoly rent, $6.
Yeah, with a hotel. Yeah. I love those games. We play Twister. We, you know, we still play all those board games. I wouldn't throw them out because your daughter may have to come. You know, many of these college kids who are saddled with this, you know, sword of Damocles over their heads with this burden of this, of I don't know how many student loans she took out, but I mean, it's just an unbelievable burden on these kids that are trying to enter the workplace. So they have to move in with mom and dad. And I think you'd actually probably enjoy having her move back home.
Oh, you'd be wrong.
Okay, I'm wrong.
No, you know, it's one of those things where we are now enjoying our home time as a husband and wife, and it's like life was 22 years ago. But again, this is my problem, not yours.
Well, you know, you have a daughter too, which is a whole new. I have three sons.
Oh,
so I can't have anything breakable in my house for the next 15 years. But you have to buy a wedding, so we all have our crosses to bear.
Do you and your wife agree on the way to raise the kids?
Quite often we are at loggerheads over how to do it. But in general, we were both brought up Catholic, so the Ten Commandments come into play quite often. And so, you know, I think we're mostly on the same page, but we do have... My wife and I argue every once in a while about little things. I can't finish that because it's dirty, but we never go to bed angry. We'd much rather stay awake and plot our revenge, which is how we handle it.
Yeah.
But she can be temperamental. She has a temper and she goes mental. And the other night, she threw a cocktail at me.
Really?
Molotov. And she's...
Those are explosive.
They are indeed. She actually said I was suffocating her the other day. I think that's what she said. The pillow was over her mouth, but... that's what I got out of it.
Tom Cotter's book is called Bad Dad, A Guide to Pitiful Parenting. Congratulations on the success.
Thank you, sir.
And congratulations on Volume 2, which I'm sure is coming out next year, and we'll talk then.
I can't wait. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it, Paul.
My pleasure. Tom Cotter here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.